This episode is brought to you by Progressive. Most of you aren't just listening right now. You're driving, cleaning, and even exercising. But what if you could be saving money by switching to Progressive? Drivers who save by switching save nearly $750 on average. And auto customers qualify for an average of 7 discounts. Multitask right now. Quote today at Progressive.com. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. National average 12-month savings of $744 by new customers surveyed who saved with Progressive between June 2022 and May 2023. Potential savings will vary. Discounts not available in all states and situations.
You don't just live in your home. You live in your neighborhood as well. So when you're shopping for a home, you want to know as much about the area around it as possible. Luckily, Homes.com has got you covered. Each listing features a comprehensive neighborhood guide from local experts. Everything you'd ever want to know about a neighborhood, including the number of homes for sale, transportation, local amenities, cultural attractions, unique qualities, and even things like median lot size and a noise score. Homes.com. We've done your homework.
True crime fans will love Crime House True Crime Stories, a Crime House original podcast. Every Monday, you'll experience the most notorious true crime cases from that week in history, all linked by a common theme, from serial killers to disappearances to unsolved murders and so much more. Follow and listen to Crime House True Crime Stories, an Odyssey podcast in partnership with Crime House Studios, available now on the free Odyssey app and wherever you get your podcasts.
6:15 on this Monday, President's Day. One person texts us on the Oakland Heart Jewelers Talk and Text line at 504-260-1870 with an answer to why we have mattress sales on President's Day. They say that was the best way to honor Bill Clinton. I see what you did there, but I think mattress sales on President's Day predate his presidency. In fact, it was back in 1971 that they started this whole President's Day thing. What makes for a great president? I thought that'd be a good question on this President's Day. So we asked Michael Frawley to join us, a historian who has studied the presidents throughout time. He's an associate professor of history and a dean at the University of Texas, Permian Basin. Good morning, Professor.
Good morning.
How are you today?
I am wonderful. It's President's Day, and
is this like your Christmas?
Like lots of people. So
is this like your Christmas? President's Day is the day that honors, you know, what you study as a professor and a historian?
Yeah, it's a good one. So, I like this one.
What makes a president great? You know, I think obviously that's very subjective, and the voters have throughout history had different thoughts on who should be president and why. But if you look through history for trends and try to understand what has made the best presidents of the United States the best, are there any common threads that you see?
I really think it's the ability to rise to the challenge of the time. You know, no president knows what they're going to face 100% when they go into office. Many of them, when they run, if a president runs on a domestic platform, we're going to do these great things for the country. All of the problems that they have to face while they're in office end up being foreign. And if they run on a foreign affairs platform, it ends up being domestic issues.
Murphy's Law, yeah.
So it really is the ability, I think, to meet the challenges that come with that. And sometimes it is really hard to tell who's going to be the guy to do that and do that well.
And when you look throughout time, who has faced the biggest challenges and who do you think has risen to the occasion best amongst them?
I mean, the easiest one, of course, is you'll say George Washington, someone like Abraham Lincoln, of course. But then there are others that, you know, Herbert Hoover on paper looked like an amazing president. Like he had all the qualifications you were going to want a guy for that office to have. And he got smacked with the Great Depression and had no idea how to deal with it or deal with it well. So, I mean, I really think that's what you get when you're looking for those presidents. Abraham Lincoln knew what he was going to face when he came into office, but no one saw the Civil War coming the way it came.
And then
he had to adjust and deal, and he did it well.
You talked about Hoover and his failings due to the Depression, but then FDR comes in knowing he has to solve the Depression and rises to that occasion, but then he's there forever and has World War II to deal with as well. So he proved to be successful domestically and internationally.
Yeah, I mean, it did help. You know, a war does help to jar domestic economy and production. So that really did help him. But he had a plan when he went in. I mean, he's one of the rare ones that was able to handle both. And you've got someone like Lyndon Johnson, who came in with his Great Society wanting to fix the country domestically and had a strong plan for it. And then Vietnam derails him completely, and we lose a lot of great ideas and programs that he put forward because he got sucked into something else completely. So, you know, it really is just waiting for history to judge.
Has it always been, though, that presidents have to focus almost all of their energies on one or the other, a huge domestic agenda or issues to solve domestically, or an international agenda, typically involving war, that keeps them from being able to do a whole lot at home?
Really, since about World War I, yeah, because of how complex they now. There are other presidents. My favorite president is James K. Polk. He had two platforms. He had two planks in his platform that he ran on. He did both of those and then went home and retired. I will take a president that does the two things he promises and then goes home.
Polk. Rarely do you say anyone say, yeah, my favorite president was Polk, but few of us study it like you do. So that's interesting. I'm going to push the pause button right there. When we come back, I want to talk about more modern presidents that folks listening now may have actually lived through an experience and what has made them great or not so great. I'll also tell you my thoughts on what makes for a great president, and it may be a little different than what others have in mind. I'm Dave Cohen in for Tommy Tucker. We're back with Professor Frawley after this, ranking the U.S. presidents on WWL. Right now, we got to get a look at traffic.
When you think about businesses that are selling through the roof, like Aloe, Allbirds, or Skims, sure, you think about a great product, a cool brand, and brilliant marketing. But an often overlooked secret is actually the businesses behind the business, making selling and for shoppers buying simple. For millions of businesses, that business is Shopify. Nobody does selling better than Shopify, home of the number one checkout on the planet and the not-so-secret secret, with Shop Pay that boosts conversions up to 50%, meaning way less carts going abandoned and way more sales going. So if you're into growing your business, your commerce platform better be ready to sell whenever your customers are scrolling or strolling on the web, in your store, in their feed, and everywhere in between. Upgrade your business and get the same checkout experience as business powerhouses like Aloe, Allbirds, and Skims. Sign up for your $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/odysseypodcast, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/odysseypodcast to upgrade your selling today. shopify.com/odysseypodcast.
6:24, Dave Cohen in for Tommy Tucker on this President's Day. Don't expect to get any mail today, and your bank's probably closed. That's how we honor presidents. Oh, and mattresses are on sale here on President's Day. Not sure how that became a thing, but it is. Michael Frawley is our guest, professor of history and dean at the University of Texas Permian Basin. He's a presidential historian. And I wanted to talk, Professor, a little bit about more modern presidents and who ranked the highest. To me, it's always been who acts the most presidential that always influenced me the most. I thought that Ronald Reagan kind of set the stage by using his acting skills to come off as looking and feeling and acting like the president. And he seemed to really grab the nation's attention. And you just felt like, now there's a president, whether you liked his policies or not. We've had some presidents since who maybe didn't come off so presidential.
Yeah, I mean, that seems to be a more modern trend. And Reagan was a great president for the American people. Like, people looked up to him. He felt like a president every time he came on television. And the backdrop of the things he was dealing with you know, he was the face you wanted for that fight to end the Cold War and to bring down communism. You know, he had been such a public figure for so long that when he translated to the presidential office, like you said, the skills that he had carried him through. And I think of a modern, when we think of the gravitas of a modern president, that's who we think of. And the presidents since him have had their moments, but no one like he did.
You know, television, obviously, and then most people listening don't remember life without television, but historians will tell you that television clearly changed the presidency of the United States. Once people could see the president, not only hear them on the radio or read about them in print, it really did kind of change what people looked for in a president, didn't it?
Oh, absolutely. I mean, when JFK was elected, the great debate between him and Nixon that really turned that election, if you're an American who listened to it on the radio, you thought Nixon won that based on his ideas and what he said. But if you watched it on television, JFK, according to people, clearly won it. Nixon was sweating. He didn't look presidential.
He had a stubbly growth on his face. He hadn't shaved before he went on TV.
Yeah, I mean, it's TV has, and now we've got, I mean, it's not even just a 24-hour news cycle, it's a 24-second news cycle, the way social media works.
And that was where I wanted to go next. As much as television changed the way people choose and think of presidents, now social media clearly was a tool very well used by Donald Trump in winning both of his presidencies. He was able to connect almost individually with so many Americans that became huge supporters of him, largely because of his social media posts. That's also clearly changing the way we pick a president, isn't it?
Absolutely. And it's not just he was able to harness that, then his followers became an extension of that harnessing, so that he created a web. So an idea wouldn't just hit the people who are paying attention to it now, it would echo through social media so well that people would connect with him. And it makes single issue voting easier for political parties to be able to make use of because of the 10 and 15 and 20 second sound bite.
And it also harkens back to many, many before any of us were alive, the way politics maybe was done back then, where there wasn't the fact checking of television and radio journalists and print journalists and internet journalists that there is now. Social media allows candidates to make claims and to put information out there that is able, because of the nature of social media, to bypass the fact checkers. And maybe it's true, maybe it's not, but if it resonates with your base, it wins you support.
Yeah, absolutely. And you know, we grew out of an era where, you know, newspapers and things like that were owned by political parties. We got out of that to a more professional journalism, and now we're going back to more partisan-driven attempts to reach out to people, which it's very common throughout
propaganda.
American
history. We can call it propaganda, right?
Yeah, I mean, well, it depends on what we're talking about. I mean, some of it's going to be propaganda. Some of it's just going to be what a political party believes. And, you know, it may not be propaganda. It just may be platform. But, yeah, no, you're right. And that propaganda and those ideas can just get a lot more traction, especially in ways we never imagine how they're going to get traction. You never know what's going to go viral.
Professor Frawley, we've run out of time, but before we let you run, is there anything else on this President's Day you, as being a presidential historian, would like to share with our audience?
You know, it's just the idea of the office of the presidency is just so important in American history and in American society, and getting out and voting every time that you can, especially in presidential elections, to make your voice heard so that the man in the White House represents you.
And we say, man, do you anticipate we will see a woman in the White House in our lifetimes?
Absolutely. I keep telling myself that. And one will come along that is as electable as anybody else.
Yeah, so far the argument is we just haven't had the right candidates. Thank you, Professor. Enjoy President's Day. We appreciate your joining us here on WWL. Mike Dottiglie joins us after the news.